So I wore my disco Christmas shirt, so I have to say Merry Christmas one more time. I'll thank one of my brothers in Christ for coining that this morning. That phrase. It's like, oh, it's your new disco shirt. Like, yeah, I lost my afro a long time ago. I can't disco anymore. I'm not qualified. But well, good morning. Good morning. Happy New Year. We're almost there. Yeah, I can go ahead and wish you that. Let me pray as we get into the Word this morning. Father, I pray that you would give us the grace of simple, genuine faith this morning, Lord. As we just sang, that you would open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, that you would speak to us through your Word today by your Spirit. You would be glorified, that your people would be encouraged today. In Jesus' name, amen. So today I've titled the message, We Give You Thanks. We Give You Thanks. And thank you guys, but that's not what that's about. as grateful as I am for you, and it's definitely not about me either. It's giving thanks to the Lord, the one who is worthy of our thanksgiving and our gratefulness. I think part of the reason the Lord laid this on my heart is because there's a lot of times I'm prone to not be grateful. There's times I'm prone to look at the issues or look at myself and kind of grumble or get discouraged, get sidetracked from who God is and His faithfulness. And so I think today, I'm not going to ask you to at certain points stand up and say, thank you, God, hallelujah. But I do invite you to do that. So, you know, you have freedom. You have freedom. I just, one passage of many that I just love about King David was where he was catching some flack for being so joyful and unreserved in his worship. And I just love it that in the midst of that criticism, he said, I can get even more undignified in praising God. And so I invite you today to set aside your dignity for a little bit and your thought of self. And I invite me at the same time and just to thank God for who he is. He's so awesome. He's so worthy of praise, no matter what 2020 looked like or any other year previous. You know, God is faithful. He is so awesome. He's so good. You know, as we entered into a new year a year ago, as always, I mean, I think sometimes we think we know more than what we know. I'll own that. You know, there's times that I've got all these expectations of well, you know, of course there'd be some surprises along the way, you know. Maybe the Colts will actually go further than any of us expect and we'll be shocked or, you know. I mean, there'll be surprises a lot, but we really have some expectations too, that we know what the future holds. And there are things, of course, because of God's promises that we do know. Some things that are solid that we can cling to. But way too much, I think, we have expectations and we cling to those. Expectations about our health, expectations about our relationships, about finances, about workplace. We just have all these expectations of things that we think should go a certain way. And then we get really frustrated when they don't go how we assume they ought to go. At least I do. Sometimes we get some sorrowfulness because we cling to things. Tozer, again, one of my favorite authors, and just his analogy, his illustration of a throne on our hearts. And man, we just put so many things on that throne and we get all disgruntled and upset when we put things on that throne other than Jesus. And then they fail us. But we have a choice to make, you know, that we can live trusting in God and His character and His faithfulness and His presence and His perfect will and wisdom and knowledge, or we can look to ourselves and get really sad and frustrated and upset. So I think that for me anyway, part of what I'll own is that there were times in 2020 where I wasn't probably as grateful as I could have been, that would have glorified God more, because I was living according to my expectations and my stinking thinking. And I want to enter into 2021 intentionally being thankful to God, ready to embrace thankfulness, ready to be encouraged, because I don't want to live out this year in my resources. or my thinking or my wisdom. I want to live trusting in Him, leaning hard into Him, listening for Him, obeying Him, embracing everything that He brings along, as long as He's in it. You know, one of my prayers often, God, whatever You're leading me into, if You're there, that's what I need. Just don't let me go where You're not. That's my prayer. At some point, is going to have some moments that are challenging. I'll go ahead and give you a heads up. Just in case you were thinking it's all Skittles and rainbows and unicorns, we've got all the mess behind us, and it's just going to be like, just, you know, like we're living at Disney or something for the next year, right? Probably not. We're probably going to have some challenges, some tough times. Our main passage we're going to look at, and we're going to jump around a bit, but Acts 28, and we'll get there in a minute. We're going to look at Acts 27 first. But Acts 28 and verse 15, maybe just turn there for a moment. Thank you, Mark. And we'll back up to Acts 27 here in a second. I think this is such a revealing moment. I think it's so easy to read this and just gloss over this. There's this moment where, well, actually, let's talk about what led to this moment. But there's this moment, we'll talk about the moment. We're there on the slide. There's this moment where Paul is approaching Rome. He had longed for a long time to go there. He'd written about his desire to go there. He prayed for an opportunity to go to Rome. He had a burden to go there. But the circumstances, what God used to orchestrate Paul going to Rome, was not what Paul would have chosen, probably, if he were me. I wouldn't have chosen this method that God chose to bring him there. But God, his wisdom is awesome, and He works out great things through this. But there's this moment on the way where Paul is on foot. He's with a company of other people, including Luke, and they're going along the way on foot to Rome. And as they're going, they're greeted by some other believers, and I think this moment reveals so much about Paul. I think it reveals that he's not Saul anymore. And he hasn't been for a long time. At this point, it's been like 20 years that he's been new in Christ Jesus. But he's a new person, and this moment reveals something, because he could have responded in such a different way, heading into the unknown, heading into what certainly is going to be challenging, to go to Rome under arrest, to go to Rome because he's appealed to Caesar, to go there, to go before Nero, who was crazy and mean, and he's like a really bad guy. Nero's just violent, psychotic. And Paul's going to go before him, appealing for justice from this guy. And we see this moment of thanksgiving and encouragement and praising God in Paul's life. So we'll rewind. We'll get there in a minute. How did Paul come to this moment? How did he get here? Well, he's been in prison for a couple years. The Jewish leaders have brought charges against him. They want him killed. They want him just, but they don't really have the authority to do it. So they've gone to the local governors, and they've tried to bring charges against Paul in order to have him killed. And because that's not working, they're just plotting to, like, when he's being transported, they're just going to jump him and kill him. There's a bounty on his head. They want him dead. And so Paul makes an appeal. He knows that if he stays where he is, that's not God's plan for him, and that there are many of the Jewish leaders who are so passionate about silencing him because he won't shut up about Jesus. And so he makes this appeal because he's also a Roman citizen, along with being a Jew, and he says, "I appeal to Caesar. I want to take me before Caesar." And he has a right to that, which Caesar can accept or turn down. But his appeal is granted. And so after 2 years, he's been in custody in 2 years. For 2 years, he's gone before Festus and Felix, the governors there. He's gone before other leaders, and he's had opportunity to say, "Listen, all I'm doing is proclaiming a risen Messiah. All I'm doing is proclaiming that all the expectations of my people and the promises of God of a coming Messiah have come true." That's the big sedition. That's the big crime. And so he's been in jail for a couple of years, but he's had opportunity again and again to share the gospel message. But now he's being transported to Rome. His appeal to Caesar's been granted. You got to go by ship if you're going from Judea to Italy. And so he's on ship, and this terrible storm comes in. So have any of you guys ever been in a major storm at sea on like a ship or anything? I've never taken a cruise, and I didn't serve in the Navy. My dad was in the Navy, so he probably saw. I think he saw some major storms on ships before. This is a horrific storm. I mean, this is gale force wind, hurricane type storm, and it lasts not for hours, which would have terrified me because I'm totally a land guy. I've never been at sea. But this lasts for days and night and day and night and for weeks. A couple of weeks, this storm is just blowing and battering the ship. And here in Acts 27, starting in verse 18, Paul's companion Luke tells us, "We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard." Can you imagine? These sailors, that they are so scared and so desperate, they're throwing the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands, some of the things they need to run the ship and navigate. They're terrified. "When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved." And I so appreciate that Luke didn't say, "And those unbelievers all gave up hope." Like, no, we were scared. He's a follower of Christ. He's born again, and he's saying, "We were terrified. This was a nightmare. This storm just kept raging and raging and raging, day and night." So this is part of what's leading up to this moment. Paul has been in prison for 2 years. He finally gets released from prison, boards a ship, thinks he's going to Rome, and along the way there's this hurricane for 2 weeks that's just raging against them. And they're terrified. I put myself in that moment and think, how would I respond? What would my thoughts be? What would my emotions be? Would I trust God in that moment? Would I feel overwhelmed with anxiety? You guys ever have those moments, those storms that don't go away in 30 minutes? They go for years sometimes, and the anxiety just wells up, and you're just, "Oh God, I know you can change this, but it's not changing." And we get very fearful, very overwhelmed, hopeless sometimes. I was reading a book by Emily Chrislieb about the life of Martin Luther. And in her book, it's called A Day in the Life of Luther. She told about a time when Martin Luther, who was a great man of faith, his wife also, both of them just very strong in their walk. And she wrote about a time when Martin Luther was just overwhelmed with fear and grief and anxiety. He was so grieved and broken over his sinfulness and giving into temptations and just unbelief in himself, just wrestling spiritually. He was so distraught over the church that he saw that had so much corruption and just wasn't what it should be. He was so broken over the world around him, so full of sin and so full of voices speaking against God, and he was just distraught. And one day his wife, Katie, walked into the room, and she was wearing mourning clothes like she was going to a funeral. And Martin Luther didn't understand. He said, "What's going on?" Because nobody that he knew had died that was a friend of theirs or family. And he said, "Katie, why are you dressed that way?" And Katie said, "Martin, don't you know that God in heaven is dead?" And he said, "Katie, how can you say such a thing? How can that come out of your mouth? That is so foolish. You know better. You know that God is eternal and all-powerful. How can you say a thing like that? God couldn't die." And Katie said, Martin, even though you know that, you're so discouraged and hopeless. And Martin Luther said that he realized in that moment that he had a contradiction. There was a contradiction in the way that he was approaching the struggles and the storms, that he knew better. He knew, based on the faithfulness of God and the character of God, that he could have strong faith and courage to face these challenges, knowing that God is faithful. And he decided to reconcile that separation between belief and practice there. And he went to the Lord in prayer, trusting in God, asking for the grace of faith, and God gave him that, and he was encouraged. On the way to Rome, as they neared the shore, there was an island called Malta, and the seas were still stormy. They were still fearful, and so the sailors decided, we need to run aground. And the ship got stuck on a sandbar. The storm was so bad still, the waves were so overwhelming that it started to break the ship apart as the waves were just battering the ship, and the ship was stuck and they couldn't go anywhere. And yet all 276 people on board made it safely to shore. Those who could swim, swam. Those who couldn't, held on to parts of the ship that had broken up. And they made it to the island. They spent a few months there on Malta. They found another ship. It was an Egyptian ship that they could board to go the rest of the way. They made a couple little stops along the way, but they landed in Italy. And Luke records in Acts 28, starting in verse 12, we put in at Syracuse and stayed there 3 days. From there we set sail, and we arrived at Rhegium. The next day the south wind came up, and on the following day we reached Padulio. At this point, they're still more than 100 miles from Rome. But they've reached the mainland, and they're going to set out on foot. They're going to walk the rest of the way. There we found some brothers and sisters who invited us to spend a week with them. And so we came to Rome. They're not at Rome yet, but he's saying, so we now have reached the mainland. This is how we arrived. Verse 15. And this is such a revealing moment, I think, for Paul. The brothers and sisters there had heard that we were coming, and they traveled as far as the Forum at Appius. This is about 43 miles from Rome. And the Three Taverns, another village, another town, about 33 miles from Rome. They traveled there to meet us. At the sight of these people, Paul thanked God. Did you ever have time when you were a kid when you were going to face the unknown? I remember times where I got into a cookie jar or something I wasn't supposed to, and my dad wasn't home at the time, but my mom said, you know, you're going to go before your father. for something, it's probably something more than that. I wasn't the most well-behaved kid. Having time to think about it was the worst, you know? Well, if you just got a swat in the moment, you couldn't really have time to get scared. Paul's got plenty of time to think this over as he walks along. He's going to go before Nero. He has no idea what that means. He's got a lot of time to think about it. Here's what he chooses to do. These believers come to meet him, and they start thanking God. They start encouraging each other. The text here in the Greek, there's a sense of this joy. They're overjoyed with gratitude and praising God. And there's this passionate, it's a time of worship. He's not caught up in the unknown. He's not caught up in what may or may not happen when he reaches Rome. Paul's not a superhero. He's like you and me. When we face the unknown, when we faced challenges, As we go into 2021 and we have a choice to make, are we going to get scared because we know that we're not adequate for whatever? Or do we look to what we know about God and thank Him and encourage each other? Paul is arriving at the center of Roman power, and at this point, I mean, Nero is unchecked in power. If you think about the fact that his life is on the line, Paul's life is on the line. Can you imagine if you got arrested for something in Kokomo and you say, I appeal to the Supreme Court, but the Supreme Court is run by a bunch of Neros who are crazy and violent and like seeing people's heads cut off. That's where he's going. And this is his response, is to have overwhelming joy and praise and thanksgiving to God at where he is and what God is doing. Even though he's a human, just like me and you, he's encouraged. If he was still Saul, I think this moment would have revealed something very different about him. But he knows God. And so he's able to thank the Lord. As we face challenges in this coming year, let us thank God and be encouraged because God remains the same. This is part of the reason why Paul could rejoice and thank God and be strong in this moment in faith and in worship, is because God remains the same. And we can hang on to the same truth. Any day that we approach that day in our trust, at least I'll say that all in this for me, in my ability and in my character, I'm in trouble. God humble me on those days, and He does. Paul was walking in faith in the character of God, which is unchanging, in the perfect will of God, in the promises of God. God had told Paul, you will go to Rome. He told him a couple times. Paul knew this, and he knew that God is faithful, and God will do exactly what he says, and that God remains the same. In Malachi 3:6, the Bible tells us, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. God's saying, in a time when the people were not necessarily as faithful as they should have been, and I think he says the same thing to his church today, as weak as you are, and as much as you may have messed up at times, and as much as we get fearful and we get anxious and we look to money to solve our problems, no matter what, God remains the same and he is faithful. And we look to him, we look to his unchanging character. And no matter what the challenge is, no matter what the unknown is, even on our worst day, even when we have to own it and say, God, you're right about me, I'm still weak, I've been unfaithful, but you remain the same. You are faithful. You are faithful. That's one of the things that Paul could hold on to in those moments of challenge. We need to thank God and be encouraged because God remains the same. The same God who has fulfilled promises to you again and again in your lifetime, He will not let you down. If He has made a promise to you, you can stand on it. No matter how things look, He'll fulfill it. In Hebrews 13, the Bible tells us, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is my helper. That's a promise. That doesn't mean you get to choose how a situation goes, but it means whatever that situation is, you can call upon Him and He is faithful. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God who saved you when you confessed your sin and turned away from sin and darkness and trusted in Jesus Christ and in his blood to cover you and cleanse you and free you, that same God has not changed. And he is faithful. We can also know that God is faithful to his word. We can thank God and be encouraged because we have the word of God. No matter what the challenge is, we have the word of God. As Paul faced the challenge of walking to Rome and the unknown there, he knew the promises of God. He was immersed in the word of God. In Psalm 119, a beautiful psalm that reveals just the benefits of feasting on the Word of God, the blessing that comes from being nourished by the Word of God, by getting our thinking realigned with God's thinking. Paul knew this. Paul had encouraged other believers to trust in God's Word. The Apostle Peter, in 1 Peter 2, encouraging all believers, encouraging me and you today, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. I think about days that, praise God, not as many as it could be, but days that I start out the day listening to any other voice other than what God has to say in his word, and how much better to go to the word of God first thing in the day and let him instruct and correct and guide and change and encourage. We've had a lot of blessed time with our new grandbaby, London. She's pretty even keel most of the time, it seems like, except for when she's hungry. And when she's hungry, you know, she'll let mom know. Wah! And for the most part, that's like all that she really cries about, is the absence of nourishment. And I pray, because we so much need it, that God would make that true of us every day. I want to be a whiny baby if I start the day without the Word of God. Because that's his provision. Thank you. That it is a feast. It is a feast. I mean, we fill up on the junk food of the world. You know, we fill up on technology and things that are just cotton candy, and all that does is rot your teeth and make you fat. But the Word of God makes us strong in him and healthy and mature. And thank God we have his Word. And be encouraged that you have his Word. And take advantage of the fact in 2021 that you have his Word. In this moment that Paul was in, facing uncertainty, he was saturated in his thinking with the promises of God. And he knew that not only is God unchanging, but that God's word is sure and that you can count on it. And when we're making decisions or heading into situations, we need to know that. We need to know that the promises of God, you can put your faith in. Let us thank God and be encouraged because we have the word of God. And I will ask you, please, pray for those who don't have it. Please. Also today, let us thank God and be encouraged because the Holy Spirit continues to work within us. Let us thank God and be encouraged because the Holy Spirit continues to work within us. The same Holy Spirit that drew you, the same Holy Spirit that gave you that gift of grace to turn to Christ, to trust in the cross and His blood, that same Holy Spirit is at work within you. I pray for an awareness of that every day. In John 14, starting in verse 16, a wonderful promise of the Lord. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate, another helper, one like me, to help you and be with you forever, even when you mess up. Even when you feel like your faith is weak, still working in you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him. For He lives with you, and for those who are in Christ, He lives in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I, Jesus said, I will come to you. I will send the Spirit. Let us thank God and be encouraged because the Holy Spirit lives within the people of God and He is not done with us. And He's not departing. No matter what happens external to you and no matter how messy you might be, He's not leaving. Praise God. He's here to stay. I'm so glad He's not done with you. Anybody else thankful God, the Holy Spirit's not done with you? Because I need to be more like Jesus, and I can't do that. Only He can do that. Man, I'm so grateful. Let us thank God and be encouraged because the good news continues to save those who trust in Jesus. The gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ for those who will turn from death and sin and trust in Jesus, it still has the power to save. Paul knew that. One of the reasons Paul was actually excited to go to Rome was because he had the opportunity to share the gospel with millions. With millions. Rome at this point is massive. It's a metropolis. Just Roman citizens alone, it's about 1 million people plus. If you count slaves, which far outnumbered the citizens, and soldiers, it's probably more like 4 million people. And Paul's excited to share the good news of Jesus because he knows the power of God unto salvation. In Romans 1, starting in verse 14, Paul writing to these believers that he hadn't met yet, Paul said, I am obligated, means I have a burden for. I'm obligated to both Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. This is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew and then to the Gentile, for in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. You want to know something really cool? God's going to save some people in 2021 because they're going to hear the gospel. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that something to be thankful for? That God is still going to use the preaching of the gospel and just the sharing of the gospel to save. To save. Do you have a burden for people that you can't shake? For somebody that you have got to share the good news of salvation with. I want to encourage you, a good prayer heading into the new year. If you don't have an unshakable burden to pray for salvation for somebody, pray for the burden. God, break me for somebody that I will be faithful to pray for their salvation. Or maybe a people group, maybe a whole nation, maybe a neighborhood, maybe a family, whoever it is. I guarantee you, God wants you to have a burden for somebody. He is going to answer that prayer. Pray that there will be those that you might share the gospel with, or if not you, God can bring whoever he wants. It doesn't have to be you. But that they will receive the good news, they'll hear it, and they'll respond in faith. Let us thank God and be encouraged that he has invited us to be co-workers in his mission to rescue people. God has invited us to be co-workers. You know, there are times that we can lose sight of this. This is such a central main part of our calling. You know, God saves each one of us on purpose. You are handpicked by him. And he saves you on purpose, but he saves you for a purpose. And part of that is to put your trust in him and to glorify him, but part of your purpose is to be part of the ministry of reconciliation, to be part of his church that shares the gospel with a world that desperately needs to hear that there's hope in Christ Jesus. And it's a joy and a privilege to know you're included in this. No matter who you are, if you're part of the body of Christ, you are invited to be part of what God is doing in the world to save people, to share the good news. Paul knew this. He was confident in this calling. Not because he's an apostle, not because he's a superhero of the faith, just because he's a follower of Jesus, and we're all called to this. We're all called to be part of this mission that God is on to rescue the lost. You know, I think of life before Christ being like a burning building that I was trapped in, and Jesus came into that building and grabbed hold of me, even though I fought him and tried to stay and said, "Jesus, I'm watching my favorite TV show. Can you just come back later?" Praise God, he ignored my resistance and he grabbed hold of me and he dragged me out of that burning building of my sin and put me in safety on the street. But not just that I could enjoy safety, he said, "Now go back in and share the news with others and get them out." There are those who are still trapped in that building that need to know there's a way out, and his name is Jesus. And what a privilege. I know it's scary sometimes to go back in that building, but what a privilege that Jesus says, "I'm with you. I'm in you. Go back in and share the message. Bring people out. And then send them back in too." Thank you, Lord. Paul knew this. We know this. We're part of that ministry. The gospel ministry. In Thessalonians 3, Paul wrote, "We sent Timothy, who was our brother and our co-worker in God's service, in spreading the gospel of Christ." We're also sent in God's service to spread the gospel of Christ and to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. We strengthen and encourage the believers, but not just for our comfort and not for our safety. This is a tough prayer for me as an American to pray. God, deliver me from my desire to be safe. God, deliver me from my belief that I should be comfortable. Free me from those idols. We have the privilege of being called to service. What a beautiful, joyful thing. That's why Paul could thank God for where he was, no matter what waited. What a privilege to be invited by Jesus to be co-workers. We can also thank God and be encouraged because of the future that's promised to us. We can thank God and be encouraged because of the future that is promised to us. There are some things Paul knew going into Rome. One, he knew who he used to be, and praise God he wasn't who he used to be. If he was going in there as a full of himself Pharisee who thought he was all that, he was in trouble. If he was just going in as a guy who knew how to make some tents pretty well, make some money, it wasn't going to go very well. But he knew that he was a follower of Jesus and that God had made promises to him and to us regarding the future, things that are certain. 1 Corinthians 15, if you want to read a really beautiful chapter about resurrection, excuse me. Starting in verse 54. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, when the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory. He gives us the victory. You don't have to work and strive and struggle for this. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Paul woke up that morning, and I don't know exactly where he was when he woke up, as he was walking along and going to this spontaneous worship time with these other believers, but he woke up that morning knowing that the victory that he had was in Christ Jesus. He didn't have to fight for it, but he was going to go out and labor for the Lord. And that no matter what came, whether he had years more of writing books of Scripture, whether he had an hour or two before his head was taken off, no matter what happened, there was a promise. Jesus is the victor, and we receive his victory. And that is certain. We are victorious. We are victorious in Christ Jesus. Is anybody, I'm not going to ask you this. No. I know there are people who are fearful about what's to come. We know from Scripture that there's a time of darkness that will come upon this world. There's a time of tribulation. There's an Antichrist. I pray we won't be fearful of that, because no matter what comes, Jesus is already victorious. Because of the cross and because of the empty tomb, Satan is defeated. All the forces of hell opposed to Christ and opposed to his church are already defeated enemies. Your sin, which grieves you, and my sin, which grieves me, Jesus has conquered it all. All the death has been defeated. Jesus has authority over it all. He is the victor, and he says, I give you my victory. You have victory in Christ Jesus. Sin and death are defeated, and you have the promise of eternity, eternal life with Christ, no matter what happens. That is certain. In Philippians 1, Paul wrote, for me, to live is Christ. It is beneficial, Paul said. I've got work to do. I've got a mission to fulfill. I'm going to labor for the Lord. I'm going to be somewhere working for the Lord. You guys know the old song? I'll be somewhere working. May that be true of this church. We're going to be somewhere working for the Lord no matter what. But even if the day means that my last breath, guess what? To die is gain. Massive gain. Praise God for His grace and His presence in this life and His provision. But how much better when we get a check out of here? And we're in the immediate presence of the Lord, worshiping Him. Him not toning down the glory so we're not consumed, but letting us see Him more as He is, to know Him the way He knows us. All of these things that Paul was certain of were based on God's faithfulness. He is going to provide for you. I don't know what 2021 holds, but He's going to provide Himself. And He's going to be faithful. And I tell you that based on the Word of God, not my opinion. Acts 28:15, again, this moment in Paul's life. The brothers and sisters there had heard that we were coming, and they traveled as far as the Forum at Appius and the three taverns to meet us. At the sight of these people, Paul broke out in thanksgiving to God and was encouraged. We can thank God because no matter what the day holds, we're not alone. We're not alone. We have each other. We have brothers and sisters in Christ, and that's part of God's provision for us. God gives us each other. Paul walked into an unknown future, trusting in a known God. We need to remind each other in the challenging times. We know God. We know that He's unchanging. We know His Word is true. We know the gospel still saves. We know His Spirit's still working. We can trust in our Heavenly Father. I'm going to close in prayer now. Worship team, you can come back up. Heavenly Father, thank You for this example of a brother in Christ, Paul of Tarsus, who walked into a future that in many ways he didn't know what to expect, Lord, but he looked to You. His confidence not being in himself, but his confidence being in a God who is faithful. And Lord, I pray that we can live days of uncertainty with encouragement and thanksgiving, Lord, because we are looking to a God who is faithful. Lord, we pray, help us to be thankful and grateful and encouraged today that You are unchanging in Your perfect will. You are unchanging in Your perfect character. You are unchanging in Your faithfulness to Your promises, God, and to Your Word. Lord, that You are unchanging in Your promise to abide with us in Your Holy Spirit and to continue working in us, God, to continue conforming us to the image of Jesus. Lord, thank You that You are faithful, God, to the message of the gospel. That is the power of God contained there for salvation. Thank You, Lord, that You are faithful to work through broken people and messy people who are just willing to trust You and run back into the burning building and say there's a way out and His name is Jesus. That is as frail as we are, God. And imperfect, that You still invite us to be part of what you're doing in this world, Lord, to bring people out of darkness into the kingdom of your Son that you love. Thank you, Lord, that we have a future that is guaranteed. That at some point the perishable will go and we'll be with you for eternity, Lord. Thank you for that promise. And thank you, Lord, that you meet us as we gather as your family to praise you and to worship you and to encourage each other and to remind each other of who you are and what you call us to and where our confidence is, not in ourselves, Lord, but in you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us family. Thank you for giving us your church, Lord. Thank you for giving us people who are willing to just be the hands and feet of Christ and sometimes just the ear and just to sit there with us and listen, to show compassion. Lord Jesus, we pray that in 2021 that you would be glorified in your church, no matter what that cost us, Lord. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen.